Community, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and not with me physically, but with me in spirit and live from Lambeau Field, it's Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I am coming to you live from the LiveX studios in Manhattan. Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap today?
Today, we're going to break down the Packers' dramatic comeback win over the Bears, of which I attended, and we'll get ready for the showdown with the Minnesota Vikings. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
a comeback for the ages.
We got the bad. We got
Aaron Rodgers is hurt.
We got the ugly. We got
everything Clay Matthews did on that football field Sunday night. How the hell are you, Corey Banky? You're in Green Bay.
Woo! La 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 Lambeau.
I mean, okay, this is poor form, but damn, that looks good. Wow.
I'm loving this remote. Dude. Nobody can shut us down. It's nice.
Yeah. What would that be about?
Okay, this is going to be a VOD on Facebook. Don't worry about that.
Before we get to anything else, we got to talk about the news. I know lots of anxious Packer fans may be tuning in to find out the latest on Aaron Rodgers. Although, if we're honest, they've already found out all they need to know on Twitter, but they come here anyway. So let's talk about the latest Packers news. Starting off with Aaron Rodgers, who worked with the rehab group, not in attendance at practice today. Later on in the locker room this afternoon, he said he would categorize the injury as a knee sprain. He still feels confident that he's going to play on Sunday. Corey, are you buying it?
I don't know what I'm buying. I'm going to tell you, when he went out, the collective depression that set in was very immediate. Everybody, I think, was right back in 2017. You know, I don't know. Who knows, right? I will say this. Whatever happens this season, last week's game was one for the ages.
Oh, yeah.
Packer fans.
Zero doubt.
It was something that you're going to... I'm going to be telling my non-existent grandkids about. It was amazing. I've very rarely... I'm remembering, like, one or two games. I think Yancey Thigpen dropping the ball in the end zone.
I knew you were going to check that. Yes, absolutely.
That's got to be the closest thing that I can come to in Lambeau Field. I mean, I remember the feeling that I had at the NFC Championship game that we lost, where Donald Driver had, I think it was a 90-some yard run back.
Yep.
That it looked like we were coming
Favre.
Back.
Yes.
You know, I remember the feeling. You know, I always used to get mad about Jared Bush, right? Because he never dropped the he didn't fall down on the ball in the NFC Championship game. The feeling I got on Sunday was the feeling I was expecting to get when Jarrett Bush would have fell on the ball at the NFC Championship game.
Right.
So I finally got that feeling, you guys.
There
it only
you go.
Took like
mission accomplished.
10 years.
All right. I love that an Aaron Rodgers injury update segued into Corey Banky's top Lambeau experiences. But we got to roll on with the news. Trevor Davis.
Okay, but I'm just saying, what do you think, Nagler? What do you think about? I mean. What is he going to say, right?
Yeah, no. I fully expect him to play. I think the Packers will play coy all week. You know, I don't doubt for any length of time that Rodgers will suit up on Sunday and play against the Vikings. I would be absolutely shocked if he didn't go Sunday afternoon. That's where I'm at.
Now, whether he's any good or not.
Oh, he'll be good. They'll do what they did at the end of that game.
I think he'll be amazing.
What they did at the 2014 playoffs, you know, they'll keep him in the pistol. They get the ball out of his hands quickly, which they should have been doing anyway. But, yeah, I think he'll be great. Now, here's the real question, Corey.
Okay.
Here's the real question. How sad are you that Trevor Davis has been put on injured reserve?
I mean, I'll tell you what. I am very sad about Trevor Davis being put on injured reserve because what it does is it forces Randall Cobb to take these kickoffs and punts.
Right.
And that's not a good thing because I think I want to say, I know you're going to say, oh, now I found a way to segue into Randall Cobb, but I will say that Jordy Nelson leaving, it what it did is it took away the Aaron Rodgers crutch, right?
Yes.
And it forced him to go to Cobb more, I think.
I agree.
And we've, you know, last year Cobb had more separation than any other wide receiver. I said it last week. He was amazing. And the guy has just been a superstar waiting to happen. I don't know how many times we've been on Packer Transplants and we said we were waiting for Randall Cobb to just basically be a superstar. And he, I mean, that play at the end, it doesn't get any better than that. I actually think it's better than when we played the Bears and we came back for that win that he had the touchdown
the division.
In
a couple years
ago.
Well, I think it's more dramatic in the sense that, or maybe not more dramatic because the Cobb reception at 13 was for the division, but I think it's more magical and probably more special because of the comeback that was involved, and it was at Lambeau. In 13, it was down at Soldier Field. The idea that this was in Lambeau to go ahead in a game that they were down 20-0 and cement the largest comeback in Lambeau history, that's pretty special. And you were there for it, so that's pretty great.
Yeah. But Trevor Davis, I mean, what do you think about Trevor Davis?
Well, I mean, it's clear that that hamstring injury never fully healed. They said it popped up on him on Sunday, and then they ran him, tried to do some testing on the field. He couldn't go. They shut him down. We know how much time he missed this summer during training camp. He missed 3 or 4 weeks. So it's clear that that hamstring injury just couldn't get right. And I talked a little bit about it on Packers Daily yesterday. You know, we've seen throughout the years when the Packers try to get a guy rested and then they bring him back with a hamstring issue, it comes in and out. And, they, you know, famously, I think the most perfect example is Casey Hayward, his second year. You know, he had that hamstring injury early on and they kept trying to get him back out there and he kept re-injuring it. And it basically wrecked his entire season. The Packers putting him Davis on IR makes a ton of sense. Let him heal up. They have the option to bring him back after 8 weeks. Finally, we got Davante Adams missing practice. Now, obviously, that would set off alarm bells for any Packers fan, but rest assured, everyone, I know Adams talked in the locker room. He said he hurt his shoulder on the 51-yard reception. He plans on playing Sunday. I've been told by a source, that's right, Banky, I'm still on the beat, baby, that it is absolutely nothing to worry about. So there you go.
I am not the source, people. I'm just saying that. I'm going to go on the record.
although you are in Green Bay, so you're much closer proximity to the news there than I am. No doubt about
that. I'm an NFL insider here, okay?
I mean, clearly.
You're getting this is like real reporting here. There is a hurricane behind me. It's called Lambeau Field and the Green Bay Packers, baby.
There you go. I like it. Wait, so okay, I got to ask you this. Before we get into, we'll get into the offense and the defense, what have you, but I got to ask you this about Sunday. Tailgate, what did you have? I saw the video of you running around with a flag in your yard there. What was on offer tailgate-wise, and how was the first game at Lambeau Field this season?
I mean, it was pretty amazing. I'm going to just name drop for 1 second.
Yep.
I got to meet Aaron Rodgers' mom and dad. So, like, that was everything for me. Yeah, they came to my house because I got to meet Luke Rodgers, which was amazing. I'd been talking to him on Twitter. You'd been talking on Twitter.
Right.
He came by. His family is so amazing. I literally got in the stadium and I turned to my friend Matt and Bree and I said, I just met Aaron Rodgers' mom. Like, it stuck with me for an entire quarter. It just blew my mind, right? And so it was an amazing tailgate. His dad got to meet my grandfather.
That's awesome.
You know, it's a family affair
over
here.
It's a family affair, the Bankies. Of course. That's great. I love it.
The Rodgers and the Bankies just hanging out.
Oh,
as we do.
That's like, as one does. All right. Let's get back to some football here. Let's talk about the offense. Let's talk about the slow start. I don't think that anybody can deny it. I think the Packers would own up to it. I think Mike McCarthy would admit it. It was another slow start for Mike and company. Now, I know there have been a lot of venting online in my Twitter mentions specifically about, you know, the game plan, etc. And here's what I'm just going to say this about whenever there's anything in regards to play calling or game planning, people have to remember it is always 1,000% a combination. It is not, it's Mike McCarthy's fault and or it's Aaron Rodgers' fault. It is on both of them, always. This idea that, you know, Mike is making Aaron hold the ball, or that Aaron is calling these long developing routes and trying to only throw something deep rather than checking it down. It's just, it works. It's a symbiotic relationship. It's very frustrating to watch as it when it unfolds as it did early on Sunday night, but it is very much both of them. It is. I've had people adamantly declare it's on Rodgers because he holds the ball. I've had people adamantly declare it's on Mike McCarthy because of the play calling. It's both, people. It's always both.
Yeah, you know where I stand on the whole play calling thing. I don't like to second guess on play calling. A lot of stuff's easy in hindsight. I will say, you know, obviously people are going to say it's a tale of two halves, right? And they were stark contrasting halves.
Yep.
But it's a lot of things. It's to your point, you know, they've got to see what's going on. They've got to react to it. You know, how many times are you going to run the ball up the middle into a wall before you stop doing it?
I will say that. That was killing me, Banky. It was killing me.
Wow.
All the A-gap probing they were trying, absolutely destroying me. Here's a question I have for you. How much do you think it has to do? I mean, do we just consider that first half basically the Packers preseason? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny you say that. Yeah, it's funny you say that. My neighbor, I'm sitting with Matt Weir the whole game, which was a very special in and of itself. We've never sat together. We've known each other for
almost a decade. I didn't realize you guys had never attended a game. That's awesome.
Yeah, we actually have never gone, and it was just so great to be with him. And it was so funny because he's yelling out, like, well, guess we needed preseason. Guess we needed preseason, like, the entire first quarter.
Right.
And it was true, right? It looked like we hadn't played in a couple years. But, you know, it all worked itself out. You know, here's the thing that's crazy about that game. I don't know why this was, because as people know me on social media, they know I'm a very optimistic fan. I'm in it for the optimism once the season starts. I'm in it to believe in this team right here and be the fan that they deserve. And so it never really dawned on me, even when Aaron Rodgers went out, even at the end of the first half, I never really doubted. And it's not any testament to me. It's just there was something, I don't know. I just had this feeling that it ain't over and we're going to come back. Now, looking back at the history of the Green Bay Packers, I should have never had that feeling, right?
But like you said, so you're a positive guy. You are a force for positivity. Before we go any further, I have to do this, Corey. Do you have control of your camera? Can you move it at all?
Yeah.
Can you pan down just a little bit for your T-shirt? Because it is absolutely blowing up the comments section.
Oh, yeah.
People are absolutely loving that shirt.
It's a nice one.
That's pretty fantastic. It's funny because
I'll just stand up.
I've seen you wear it a million times, so I didn't think anything of it, but holy cow, people are absolutely loving it. Where did you
this
get
this little
it?
Guy got eaten.
Yeah.
I don't know. My family gives me stuff.
Very good. Very good.
This little guy got eaten.
Mm-hmm.
This little guy's about to get eaten.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. The other thing a lot of people were kind of grousing about after that game was Jimmy Graham and the lack of production. Now, some of that grousing was about fantasy, and I don't care about those people, but people like genuinely wondering about Graham's usage and how he was deployed. You know, I put up some stuff on Twitter earlier this week showing how the Bears were kind of chipping him seriously almost every single time he went out on a route. They had a defensive end basically chip him prior to even beginning his rush at the quarterback. And that was some of it. But I think we've seen this play out throughout the years where whether it was JerMichael Finley, whether it was Jared Cook, whether it was even Martellus Bennett last year, we've seen that, you know, the summer comes and they work on stuff with the tight end and people get all excited, not remembering that, that's not a game plan that they're working on. Those are plays to the tight end. But those plays specifically are in the hopper, so to speak, for McCarthy and Rodgers to pull out at the right time. And there were a couple instances where Graham actually breaks wide open and Rodgers either isn't looking at him or just misses him and throws it someplace else. So I think, everyone who's like worried, and I don't think most people are, but there are a few people who contacted me a little worried about Jimmy Graham. Don't worry, his stuff will come. Jared Cook kind of started the same way, you know?
It's going to happen over time. It's unfortunate that Rodgers doesn't get to practice as much. I think that's going to be the catalyst for Graham and him getting on the same page. You saw it at training camp. I mean, I remember you coming back here and being like, oh, my God. I mean, I remember just them getting on the same page was amazing. I was a little surprised, I'll be honest, that it didn't happen quicker. You know, in my head, right, I think that Mercedes Lewis, Graham are just going to, like, take over the entire offense. And I do think we're going to have a game where that happens, they take away Devontae. I don't know. I just don't feel like you can take away all our receivers.
Here's
Geronimo Allison's hitting it at the right moment right now.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. You just kind of touched on it right there. The tight ends will have to come to the fore when they face a team with a defense with premier corners. And lo and behold, here come the Minnesota Vikings with one of the best corners in the game in Xavier Rhodes. I know Trey Waynes is not a household name. He's a talented young guy. He's on the injury report this week, so that's something to watch for, although I think he practiced today. They've got definitely more talent in the secondary in Minnesota. I think this could be a week where the tight ends could feature a little bit more as kind of a counter to that.
The circle, right? So so you're going to see, like, Devontae and Cobb took over in this last week, right?
Yes.
And you showed, you were saying how Ty Montgomery was a lot better with his blocking, with his pass blocking, which means he's going to actually get into the game more, which means now he's going to be ready for screens. He's going to be ready for these little flat things. I feel like it's either Graham's going to take over if they try to take away Devontae and Cobb, or even Montgomery could just have that game where he had 2 years ago where he just takes over, which I think... that's somebody we're really not talking about, right?
Yeah, well, because, like, as you said, limited usage, limited opportunities, but he did acquit himself well in pass pro, which has always been his bugaboo. He took on some guys who were coming after him. I mean, he took on Trevathan, who was trying to hit him with power. That's pretty impressive. So, yeah, I think we will see a bit more Montgomery. How much, I'm not sure. I think they love Jamal Williams keeping Aaron Rodgers safe. Aaron Rodgers on a gimpy leg. I think you want your best back there when it comes to pass protection, but we'll see.
No doubt.
The other thing, you touched on it a little bit there, you know, the Packers slamming themselves into a wall repeatedly in the running game. I got news for everybody. That's probably not going to change much this week. I don't expect the Packers to have much more success along the interior. Now, maybe they get something going in the stretch game, the zone. I doubt it because the Vikings linebackers are so good, but... you know, if anyone's expecting the running game to suddenly get on track this week, that's not going to happen. The Packers' offensive line just isn't built for that, you know, trap game up the middle. I know they busted one for a decent gain against the Bears, but for the most part, you know, I would expect much more of that against the Vikings.
Yeah, I would agree.
And finally, I just wanted to touch on the play of DeShone Kizer real quickly because... been a raging debate in my Twitter mentions about the backup quarterback spot. And can we just all agree, because someone asked about, you know, he played so poorly, yada, yada, yada. Will they look outside for a veteran? And A, no.
No.
If the time to look for a veteran was back in March, you know, they had Ryan Fitzpatrick on offer. They had Teddy Bridgewater on offer. There were options out there. Guys who are not very expensive, who have started a lot of games in the league, who could come in and run your offense and make something happen should something happen to Aaron Rodgers. Now, I know the argument against that is, well, you know, Kizer just started 16 games, but he's still so raw and so rough. Like I said, there were other options. Now, it's
clear. We had some Cleveland Browns. We had some Cleveland Browns fans. I won't name drop anymore. I won't say who they were.
I know who it was.
We had some Cleveland Brown fans who are amazing, actually, and they were not feeling Kizer. Like, that was like, oof. Yeah. You know, here's the thing. Two things, okay, Nagler? One is there's a guy that's out there that's better than every backup quarterback in the NFL right now.
You had to go
Packers
here, didn't
were actually,
you? Yeah.
if the Packers were actually really serious, right, and then they actually did believe that the best people should be on the field, then that person would be playing quarterback. That's first point. Second point, I think Gutekunst really made a decision along, like he's like, okay, I got to clean up 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017 draft. Let me get around to the quarterback issue next year.
Yeah, very much so. I said on Twitter this morning, he punted at backup QB, and there are many reasons, many factors that probably went into that decision. But it's clear when you trade away a talented corner for a backup who just led an 0-16 team, who is incredibly raw and has accuracy issues, and then cut the guy who knows the offense well and ran it better than your new guy all camp long, and you don't go sign a Teddy Bridgewater, a Ryan Fitzpatrick, and or a Colin Kaepernick. I know that would never happen, but I agree with you. He's better than what's on offer. It's clear. I mean, I don't think that's a controversial statement. I also think perhaps the idea that, Gutekunst has watched now twice when Aaron Rodgers has gone down and the offense absolutely be basically shut down, he's dealing with the head coach he has. He knows that this offense is completely designed and built around Aaron Rodgers. So why go and, now this is me, supposing in Gutekunst's right. head here, but, he figures, all right, fine. If Rodgers goes down, we're punting on the season, we're developing whatever we have on board, and then, we load up for next year because a lot of guys come off the books next year. It's a whole new scene, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I don't begrudge him for that. It's probably not the way I would have gone, but as a general manager, your job is to look 5 years down the road and not, not be completely beholden to the moment. So I think that's what he did. Now, again, that's just guesswork on my part. I could be wrong. I could be right. Well, it's neither here nor there, but Kaiser, he's not the answer currently. That's for sure.
I will say, well, what do you think about this idea? Do you feel like Kaiser beat Hundley in camp? Because I do.
No, I don't. I actually think the opposite. I think Hundley beat him.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I think.
Interesting.
I think.
So it's just a more upside thing?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think, and there were definitely glimpses with Kaiser in the preseason. I don't think there's any question. I don't think anybody would argue with that. But I think especially by the third preseason game, you saw how much better Hundley was in regards to the command of the offense, knowing where to go with the ball. There's still going to be issues because he's Brett Hundley and he's got limitations. But, yeah, and I know, the Packers just love his potential. You nailed it there. They're absolutely on board with all of that. All right, let's get around to the defense. Nobody wants to talk about backup quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah.
Defense.
Let's talk about the defense. Here, before we get to anything, what did you think of Mike Pettine's debut in Green Bay?
I like the second half.
Yeah, that was fun. I think more than anything else, there's a obvious talent upgrade in the secondary. I don't think there's any question, especially at the corners. Corner position.
I think that's obvious. Yep. I think Mike Daniels had a great game, but you couldn't tell. I was watching some of the stuff that you had, and I kind of felt the same way because I like to watch Daniels. You know, where the hell is Clay Matthews? I think that's what the heck's going on?
Let's shy away from that for now.
That's kind of weird. It's so bizarre. I know we're going to talk about that. It's really bizarre what's going on there. I don't know. Did you feel that different? Did you feel besides the secondary, I guess there wasn't a lot in the middle. I mean, look, typically in the same game last year in the second half, we would have been let down because somebody would have got a pass over the middle. Right.
Yep.
And that didn't happen. And we made some good stops. But then you look back at the tape, you brought up the Reggie Gilbert thing. You look at the tape, and there's some major misses that we lucked out on. I mean, that's football, right? One play could have been the difference, right?
Very
and it wasn't. But did you see a real difference between Patton's defense, watching it three times later, than you would have with Capers?
Somewhat. I think the differences came in the pressure calls. They didn't come until later in the game. I thought he kept it pretty vanilla early on, and I'm not surprised by that. Simply because of the fact that they didn't really know what to expect. And it's funny because Mike McCarthy kind of name-checked it earlier today during his press conference. they didn't really know what to expect from Matt Nagy. You know what I mean? Like, clearly they have his tape from his time in Kansas City. They know what type of offense he's running. But, I mean, it was pretty clear that first opening drive, Nagy has been working on this, you know, opener for all offseason. He emptied the playbook, essentially, in that first half. And Patton just wanted to keep his guys in a very simple mindset. Of course, again, this is just me guessing, but I think he just wanted guys to not be thinking a lot, not having to worry about, you know, oh, if this happens, I've got to do this, but then if that guy replaces, yeah, I've got to go here. Like, he's just trying to play, okay, give me cover two. Give me, man high. Give me single free safety. Yeah. Like, he's just trying to keep it simple. And I think the Bears were able to take advantage of that a little bit. But you saw as the game went on, you mentioned that, you know, Trubisky missed on a couple throws. There's no doubt about that. We know about the Cohen one. There was also Kevin King was kind of beaten up the right side, and that throw got missed high and out of bounds. I mean, there were definitely a couple instances where the secondary was could have given up more yardage. But for the most part, I thought they acquitted themselves really well. First time out of the gate, we didn't – I mean, hell, Corey – they played the entire game with 11 guys on defense. So, I mean, for me, that's a major win, right?
That's a win.
I mean,
that's
big, a win. Big time.
Speaking of Kevin King real quick,
yeah,
that Twitter burn that he had yesterday, that was on fire. I was loving that. I was loving that Kevin King. King Kevo.
Well, what's funny is that, like, Dan Durkin down there, who covers the Bears, he had put the still shot up, and I thought it was funny. So I retweeted it. Of, you know, the Bears player wide open in the end zone. And then Kevin King clapped back basically off of my retweet, and that meant my mentions were all in tatters. But then somebody in Dan's mentions was like, is there video of this? And I was just sitting at my desk. I was like, yeah, sure. I got pull up Game Pass, and I just shot it. That was the biggest mistake I've made this week, Banky. Because holy cow, 24 hours later, people are still in my mentions arguing this stupid play. So, yes, wow. I agree with you. Kevin King, god of clapback. I'll tell you what, speaking of the defensive backs, can we talk about Kentrell Bryce for a second? What a game. What an outstanding game. I did not see that coming.
Who would have thought?
I mean, assignment sure. He bit on play action once, and he had a couple of missteps along the way. But for the most part, I mean, Mike McCarthy said, highest graded player against the Bears on defense. I was thoroughly impressed. It was much better than what we saw this summer. So hopefully they can keep that up. And I also wanted to give a shout out.
Definitely.
I wanted to give one more shout out on the defensive side of the ball to Blake Martinez. This guy played all 70 snaps.
Oh, my goodness. Blake Martinez.
He was out of his mind.
The unsung hero of the game.
I mean, he was so good in that game. He was so good.
He's the only linebacker on the field the entire second half, pretty much.
They kept playing 6 and 7 defensive backs, and people kept pinging me, like, where are all the linebackers? I'm like, they don't have a whole lot of linebackers. So they're going to let Blake take care of it. I mean, that was a yeoman's performance. And I just wanted to give him a shout-out. I don't really have much to say. I just wanted to give him a shout-out because I thought he was outstanding. I mean, really.
I concur.
All right, Banky, are you ready? That's all I want to know.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? I mean, we covered it. We've covered the offense. We've covered the defense. We've covered Trevor Davis going on IR. Oh, I've got some people in the comments asking about Oren Burks. Will he be ready? He was limited today, so I'm guessing...
TBD, right?
It is TBD. My hunch would be probably one more week. That's just a hunch sitting here Wednesday afternoon. Let's see how the week plays out with the injury report. But my hunch is... probably one more week for that shoulder. All right, but back to the question. Are we ready for the blogosphere? Are we ready for it?
That's, yeah, we're ready.
That's my question. Are we ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's roll. Let's go. Right.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series, Corey Banky.
Venerable.
I got some news for you. I got some news, Banky.
Okay.
There is a new feature in the Packer blogosphere that any self-respecting Packers fan cannot miss. Our boy
Ben Fennell.
Our boy Ben Fennell is over at The Athletic dropping knowledge, people. Holy cow. Fennell,
he's got a whole lot of knowledge bombs to drop. I'll tell you that right now.
He's just over there breaking down tape. His stuff went up this morning at The Athletic. If you haven't, check it out. If you don't have a subscription, what are you doing? I thought you were a Packers fan. Go check out Fennell's stuff. Holy cow, it's so good. And I did want to highlight one video that he put together. I am 1 billion percent stealing his content here, but I wanted to feature this because it was talked about a lot after the game. Chris Collinsworth blew this play up into like Herculean effort when really Reggie Gilbert gets beat on this play. Now, that's not to take away from Gilbert. He's covering Tariq Cohen, who is an amazing talent out of the backfield. He runs a wheel route on him. I want to show this clip of Reggie Gilbert. Gilbert actually, and again, right before this happens, we see Blake Martinez kind of show him or tell him what to do, which he's supposed to do. That's his job as a middle linebacker. But this is where a more experienced quarterback, you were talking earlier about, you know, some misses from the Bears. This is one of them. Well, watch this. Here we go. Here's Gilbert. He takes Cohen right out of the backfield. He's going to the flat, and then Cohen takes it upfield. Now, there. You saw right there. The ball, he's not, like, Trubisky doesn't even go to him, and that's what they wanted. That is where the play is designed to go. They're looking for that matchup, and they got it. And if Trubisky just waits one more second and pulls the trigger, he's got a touchdown. So that's what, that reinforces what we were talking about earlier in regards to, yes, there was a lot of good on the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, there were definitely opportunities that went missed. And let me tell you right now, I don't think Kirk Cousins is Joe Montana, but Kirk Cousins would hit that, and Kirk Cousins would take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of thing that the Packers are going to have to be wary of and ready for and kind of tighten up, so to speak, when the Vikings come into town on Sunday afternoon. But that all of that said, Ben Fennell, ladies and gentlemen, check his stuff out. Oh,
Ben
my
Fennell.
Goodness.
Great stuff. Well, you know what that deserves, though. We got to give a shout-out to Trubisky. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Appreciate you sucking along with the rest of the Bears.
I love it. And the other thing I wanted to highlight during our Blogosphere segment here, Brett Favre is back, ladies and gentlemen. Brett Favre is back.
He's back.
He's back on the Sirius XM NFL airwaves. And yesterday,
love it.
He dropped a little nugget that, you know, something that Aaron Rodgers had talked about. Actually, Favre had talked about it, and then Rodgers had talked about it, and now Favre is talking about it again. About Aaron Rodgers' visit down at Hattiesburg back in June. And, you know, we knew there was supposed to be some kind of footage involved. I didn't know what it was. Aaron Rodgers kind of talked about it a little bit, ESPN Milwaukee earlier this year. But apparently, it's a year in the life of Aaron Rodgers documentary, which apparently will feature their time together down in Mississippi. So if that doesn't get you crazy, exactly, if that doesn't get you crazy excited as my earpiece completely blows up, then I don't know what you're doing calling yourself a Packers fan, because that is going to be amazing.
Take all my monies. Take all my money.
Exactly.
Take my gold. Take all my money. Just don't take my Green Bay house.
No.
Other than that, I'm in.
Other than that. And guess what? I think we're at the end here. Wait, are we at the end? We're at the end.
Well, I will say it's
got?
Very
got,
interesting. Banky? I thought it was kind of I think it was kind of fascinating that in his press conference he referenced Brett Favre and his toughness.
Yes.
Which I think you're seeing this whole coming full circle where he's starting to remember watching Favre. It's very fascinating. It's really great that he's coming back. The Peter King piece with Aaron Rodgers
and
talking
Bart
about
Starr.
Bart Starr.
Oh,
I was crying.
God.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it got real dusty.
It was
in the
so amazing.
It was so good.
Pretty
outstanding. I agree with you. You know, I think part of it is, you know, Rodgers absolutely recognizing where he's come from and the fact that he did sit behind Favre for 3 years. And it's interesting that Rodgers has really kind of seemingly, I mean, from both of their accounts, spearheaded this, you know, I guess I won't say reunion because we know they did the public thing at the NFL Honors Awards a couple years ago. But Rodgers seems to be pretty proactively trying to seek, I won't even call it reconciliation, but a show of goodwill, you know, a kind of a mending of fences, so to speak. And I love it. And I will also say,
I love it too. What's not to love?
I will touch on this real quickly. Remember back during 2008 when all the drama was happening, and people would say, people would write it, people said it on TV and the radio, etc. People would talk about Favre's legacy, how he was ruining his legacy. And Favre always had a great response to that. He always said, let me worry about my legacy. Remember, he would always say, just, you know, I'm pretty secure in my legacy. Let me worry about that. Now, undoubtedly, there will always be people who hate him slash won't forgive him for going over to Minnesota, etc. But I got to admit, he was pretty right. I mean, he's back in the fold. His name's up on the bowl. He's greeted with loving arms all around Packer Nation. The guy knew what he was talking about. He worried about, you know, he knew what he was doing. And I think he's been proven right down the stretch here.
Yeah, I'll say one thing, because you're talking about the guy who made the Favre Trader video, right? And I knew you'd have
something to say.
Look, I forgive Brett Favre.
Right.
He is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play for the Green Bay Packers. There's no doubt about it. His legacy is preserved. Did he make a mistake going to the Jets and the Vikings? Yes, he did. I guess the real mistake is that for so long he talked about wanting to end his time as a Packer, and it just kind of seemed like a bunch of BS to me when it was all said and done. It leaves like a really slightly bitter taste, but you know, that bitter taste could turn into umami, so that's okay. And ultimately, I'll take my bitter greens, and I love me some Brett Favre.
That is the correct answer, sir. All right. You got anything else for the people, Banky? That's what I like. A shot
Lambeau.
Of Lambeau Field. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode
of
Packer
Transplants.
There
you go. I'll let you enjoy it.
We'd like to thank everyone who connected with us, however they connected with us. YouTube, Facebook, GZTV itself, wherever you find us. Twitter, Twitch maybe down the line. Who knows? Be it here or anywhere else, you guys really help make this a unique fan experience. That's why Corey and I are here. It's what we do. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. And before we go, I got one other thing I got to do, Banky. You don't have to be privy to this. You can walk away if you need to. I need to read all the names of our Patreons because I screwed up the credits today, so they're not all in there. But I did promise. I did promise a shout out to every Patreon who ever gives to us on every single Packer Transplants. So here we go.
I like it.
I'm reading all the names. We got Aaron Edgerton. We got Aaron Polzinski. We got Adian Flood. Alexander Paradis. Allison Hendricks. Allison Martin. Anthony Schifra. Amando Mendoza. Brandon Nelson. Chad. Why are you scared of your last name, Chad? Chad Sanders. Chris Rhyme. Clyde Landrum. Dan Berth. Dan Showman, Daniel Pedersen, Danielle Monkey, David Rickert, Derek Arndt, Donna Chopin, Dustin Schuert, Glenn Hintz, Greg Schultz, Holly Phelps, Ivan Valtvech, Jim Frank, Joseph Maloney, Josh Grosser, Josiah Thorngate, Justin Melby, Kava Rami, Crystal, just Crystal, Marshall Brown, Matt Peterborg, Matthew Schuller, McQuaid Arnold, Mel Klitsky, Michael Lococo, Mike Lezwuski. Man, these Wisconsin names are killing me, people. Mitchell Schaller, Molly Rausch, Nathan Morrissey, Nicholas Price. And this is true. This is a real Patreon on the Cheesehead TV Patreon page. Nintendo World Report. So shout out Nintendo World Report.
Yeah, Neil. That's my boy Neil.
Reginald Babin. Renee Anderson, Rick Hammond, Russell Johnson, Ryan Bowman, Ryan Frederick, Samuel Dew, Sean Gallagher, Stephen Barless, and Uriah Shelter. There you go, everyone. I'm sorry, your names will all be in the credits next
week.
That's
a lot of people.
I'm telling you, Banky, people are contributing to the Cheesehead TV Patreon.
I thought like two people cared about this show, me and you.
Apparently, there are a few more. But thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for the support. Banky will be back in studio tomorrow, so we won't have this remote set up, but enjoy this lovely shot of Lambeau Field.
Week, yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great week.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?